This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is Robbie Eagles.
Hey, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is the Jurassic Punk, Sid Parker.
And the Psychic Cowboy, Benny Factor.
Don't worry, just panic.
Hey, this is Killian English.
This is Charlie Evans.
This is 5 times the world's heavyweight champion, a scrap iron Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
The Summer Series. Yeah, welcome to the show, folks. I am Josh Armour, and today I'm bringing you a couple of awesome chats with two of Australia's top pro wrestling managers, Mark Williamson speaking with WRA's Todd Eastman, and Benny English chatting with myself back in early 2014. And the Todd Eastman dubs a chat from around mid-2014. So really cool stuff here. Mark Williamson talks a lot about what makes a good manager and also the promotions that he's worked for, and a few tales, including working with Adam Pearce, and who has really been a star of our show over the last couple of years and been a favourite. Also, Benny English has worked with Adam Pearce with Scrap Iron on the Seven Levels of Hate series as a promoter of Warzone Wrestling and also as a manager. So, yeah, also, like, Benny talks about moving over from the UK as a youngster and just, yeah, lots of great stories. And, yeah, it's funny, we were, well, I guess the first time we met was not really a meeting, but, you know, he was doing his thing managing at EPW Adelaide, and I was a fan at the time, and we get into that as well. So, yeah, good times ahead here on this episode. And we are going to be kicking off 2016 with a bang. Todd Eastman just last night had about a 1 hour chat almost with Jesse Daniels, who is a wrestler up there in AWA Live. I've spoken with him before on WRA, and also he is one of the promoters, one of the head honchos there. So really the crux of the conversation, I think a lot of it centres around Queensland Wrestling, AWA, heading into 2016, and what people could actually be looking at next year. So also going to be pretty interesting to have a listen, because now Todd has moved up there to Queensland, so he's now a Maroon by default. And of course, you know, I guess we're gonna, you know, sort of be able to listen in on him getting acquainted with the scene up there, because, you know, the majority of his experiences have been down here in Adelaide with RC Dub and whatnot. So, yeah, looking forward to that one next Monday. That one's going to be out just inside the new year. And don't forget the WRA Listener's Choice Awards. The first three categories are up there on the Facebook page. There's a photo gallery album, if you like, with the awards categories in there. So you've got top female or favourite female from Down Under, favourite male and favourite tag team. And then next Wednesday, we'll put up a new category. So you'll be able to vote more for some of your favourites. And again, the awards show around early March of 2016, going to be a lot of fun, as the 2015 awards show was. If you haven't heard that yet, folks, go back into the archives here and suss it out. It was a fun night. Quickly, before we get into Todd's chat with Lord Mark Williamson, just want to do a little bit of a push here for reviews and ratings. If you do use the iTunes app, podcasting app or whatnot to get the show, please do click on our page there, Wrestle Radio Australia. Leave us a rating and a review. That does really help us get to more people and get up there in the listings on iTunes. So do us a favor, please. And yeah, if you enjoy the show, leave a little word there and a rating. Much appreciated. That would be by all of us here at the network. And quickly, a shout out to Wrestle Merch Printing. If you're an Australian wrestler or a promoter and you want to get a fresh new look out there for the fresh new year that is 2016, do suss out Wrestle Merch Printing on Facebook. Look up their page, give them a like, and send them a message regarding the work that you need done. There's great talent out there like TMDK, Kellyanne, promotions such as Melbourne City Wrestling and EPW Perth, and Wrestle Rampage down here in Adelaide that trust Wrestle Merch Printing to get great merch out to their fans. So again, send a private message to Wrestle Merch Printing on Facebook. You'll get friendly, prompt service from those guys. And they hooked us up with the new logo that you see here, the green and gold deal there. So even if you just need some new artwork, they have got you sorted. Again, Wrestle Merch Printing, thank you for supporting this show. All right, after these two awesome interviews, I will be back to close out the show. Here is Todd Eastman with Lord Mark Williamson, and then myself with Benny English.
This interview is one I've been wanting to do for a long time. He is, without a doubt, one of the best managers in the country today. He is, of course, Lord Mark Williamson. How you going, mate?
I'm going very good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes. And unlike a lot of people, the lordship thing isn't just a gimmick. You are, in fact, a lord, sir.
It's legit. I am a shoot lord, as they call it. So the Lord of Glencoe in the Scottish Highlands. There's probably thousands of us. But for my 30th birthday, I got my lordship, then decreed when I marched into Commonwealth Bank that they change all my credit cards and bank accounts to read the Lord Mark Williamson name.
So is that RTA on your license?
Oh, no, because you don't get your title on your license. I get a speeding fine, though. If I get a speeding fine, it's to Lord Mark Williamson.
Sick.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're right.
When they were voting for the whole independence thing, I was like, I wonder if that's going to affect his title.
They're called Scottish Lords or Lairds. So they're the original heirs of land of Scotland and the Kingdom of Scotland. So it's still a legit title. So I'll make it for what it's worth.
Yeah, milk it as long as you can.
It's nice to work at Commonwealth Bank, and it was really good walking in there because I walked into my old manager that I didn't like, and I made her change all my details to Lord Mark Williamson. It was quite a satisfying to do on your 30th birthday, you know. So,
did she think you were taking the piss to start with?
She did it first. She had to check it was all legit. And so that was the best part about it. She always got looking at the paperwork. It's a legitimate paperwork. I think online, I can't believe I'm doing this. Then, you know, get all the cards sent out 3 days later. Walk to the bank to get them activated. They called me Mr. Williamson. I believe you find it's Lord Williamson. And they called me by my title. So it's, and then the ladies, they still have contact with me. You are such a wanker. You realize that. You are the biggest wanker I've ever met in my life. But you get that.
That's Lord Wanker to you, lady.
Lord Wanker to you, madam. Yeah.
Oh, dear. how did you get into, like, watching wrestling? And how long have you been a fan for?
I've been a fan since Wild World of Sports on Channel 9, and they used to show, you know, your old Hulk Hogan and George the Animal Steel and Andre the Giant and Bobby Heenan. So I was a fan since a little kid, and then got back into it in my teenage years when I went over to America and got hooked watching it there, and went to a live show and was blown away by it. Then when I came back from America, started watching it over here and got involved pretty much a couple of years later, and it's gone from there. In the 80s, it was the over-the-top characters that got you hooked. Then in the 90s with the Attitude Era, it was in your face, kind of different things that you're not used to watching on TV. So, yeah.
Yeah, so are you still a fan today? Do you watch the actual current product?
Yeah, still a fan. So still watch the current product. Hooked into the old WWE network and reliving WCW, which I never used to watch. Yeah. I was a big Ric Flair fan, but WCW. So it's catching up on all the old Nitros and pay-per-views, which is a lot of fun considering there's not much on TV these days.
I've been saying that, like, Raw and SmackDown's biggest competition at the moment is the archives. Like TNA, not anything else. It's their archive. Because I'll watch that before I watch. I haven't watched a SmackDown, I don't think, in about 2 months.
Yeah, I don't watch SmackDown. This stuff. I watch Raw because I don't work Mondays, Tuesdays, so I get to watch Raw live. But I don't watch SmackDown, and I watch the pay-per-views now because I got the network. So, yeah.
How did you make your way into like the Australian business? Because it was always sort of, well, how long have you been actually doing it?
I've been around since 2001, which is a very long time ago now.
Wow, yes.
I was doing morning radio when I got out of high school for the local Blue Mountain station, and AWF were having a massive show at Penrith Panthers with a championship crowning. So I spoke to TNT and had him on the radio show, and you know, doing a bit of press for that, and just started there. Went along and watched the show there, and erupted into ring announcing and started, you know, training for bumping and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was basic through AWF and TNT Greg Bound. He's to blame. He's to blame.
So you never actually sought to wrestle? It was always just the managing area of it? Or?
Well, let's just face it, I'm not a fan of being athletic. I just found another way to be involved. But I'm nowhere near an athlete. I loathe going to the gym. I do like certain exercise, but going to the gym, getting bigger, you can forget that, pal. That's for other people to do that. I always love being the manager as well, the manager during the roles. Like, as a little kid, I loved Bobby Heenan.
Yep.
I used to watch the villains in movies and TV shows, and for some reason, as a little kid, I liked Bobby Heenan. So that was always, if I was going to be a little wrestling, I'm going to manage. That looks like that's the most fun, coolest job in the world. So, yeah.
So you worked for AWF. How did you end up branching out into other territories and other states in that matter? Because for a wrestler, it's easy enough for them to go, look, here, watch, this is X tape here, this is my work, and all people will hear about you, go, yeah, come on over. But for a manager, I imagine it would be a hell of a lot harder.
It was a bit difficult. I was lucky at the stage. Well, there was, as you know, the old politics in Australian wrestling. When I was working with AWF, there was a bunch of guys that weren't happy. So we kind of branched off and started our own thing in the traditional New South Wales manners of problem resolution, doing the old stuff it, let's start our own promotion. we set up a little angle down PCW down in Victoria. So we did this, the new rival promotion we started was called the Ultimate Wrestling Alliance. So we did like an invasion angle that got over there pretty well. We debuted on their huge show there, I think 2002. They had like about 800, 900 people. It was a Lobo versus Mad Dog in a death match, and absolutely packed the place out, and we got over with the crowd. So I started working down in Victoria for PCW. Then kind of when people start seeing stuff down there, you know, meeting people and networking and all that sort of stuff, you got offered to do more shows.
Yeah.
Most of the guys I started with in wrestling in New South Wales are no longer around. There's very, very, very few and far between when I started. However, a lot of the guys down in, because like I started 2001, then I'm down in Victoria doing 2002. A lot of those guys are still around, so that's why it's kind of my my wrestling home and my wrestling family, you could say, down in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, the lifespan or the career span of a manager is a hell of a lot longer than the career span of a wrestler, really.
That's it. It's especially, you know, different ways you can change up your style. You can do different things in different towns when you're traveling around. It's you've got like, man, I can do this for probably another 20, 30 years quite easily if I wanted to. But yeah.
What do you see as a manager's role in wrestling or in a wrestling match? Because I know, like, you go to some indie shows, and I'll just say the indie shows because a lot of people in other countries listen to us. So you go to a lot of indie shows, and you see a manager come out, and he won't say a word, and he'll just stand there like a lump in the corner for the entire match. Yeah. And you go, what the hell's he there for then? Like, you're a lot different, and that's I sort of try and pattern my style a little bit after you just because – I want to be sort of like, there's a reason why I'm out there.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, I mean, it's a match. Match is a team effort. Same as putting on a show. So the main thing I've tried to do is do what the promoter wants me to do. So if they need a certain thing put over, They want a certain style of performance. I tend to gravitate towards that. Because, I mean, there's... Yeah, it's a difficult question because, I mean, it's all part of the performance.
Yeah.
So your job changes from the different people you manage. So, for instance, like, you could be paired with someone who can't talk. So your job is to do the talking. I'm paired with someone that I'm paired with a package who can talk. My job is to basically be a dickhead ringside, and in default, we're our banter being a couple of dickheads. They're going to boo him. So as I said, it's a very different approach to you, the different people you work with. So I think that's my answer to it. Those guys that hang around ringside, they usually just know the promoter, or they're someone at the training school.
Yeah.
And they pay their training fees, but they're very unathletic and just pretty useless. So sometimes the promoter or whoever's involved still wants them to come to training and still wants them to be a part of the show, and they just tend to be thrown into that position. Sometimes they really they can stick out like a sore thumb when you see someone not doing anything or not reacting. It takes away from the performance of the match.
So. Exactly. I mean, I've always gone by, like, I think it was the Bobby Heenan theory that I'm not going to do that much in the match, but when I do something, it's going to affect the match in some way.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You do too much, it doesn't mean anything, especially if you're involved in a screwy finish. If you're choking people every time the wrestler needs a rest break, well, that ain't going to mean shit because I've seen you interfere a million times in the match. And that's, you know, that's why when I'm working with people as well, that's one of my pet hates. I'm getting a bit of reputation for being lazy and standing around doing nothing, but a lot of the times I don't need to be doing anything, especially if you're managing someone that's, you know, 140 kilos and he's wrestling a 90 kilo person. I shouldn't have to be cheating.
Yeah.
They should be throwing it around, and it's that moment of when they need my help, that's when you jump in and it makes the impact.
A lot of guys will do it just for the sake of doing it, and it does take away. Like, we've had spots where guys have been planning matches where I've been the manager, and they're like, oh, we want you to do this, want you to do this, want you to do this. And I've just gone, don't worry about me. Don't worry about just trying to find stuff for me to do. If there's something at the end, near the end, which will turn the match, that's cool. I'll do that. But just don't put stuff in there for me to do.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, you do it as, you know, the basic crafting a match together. And I think about being a good manager is knowing how to put a wrestling match together too. So it is vital when helping the guys put the match together. So you're not just going to do that. Yep, I'll do that. Yep, I'll do that. You told me. Because sometimes guys, some of the workers you work with aren't overly that experienced with putting matches together. They're just putting in there willy-nilly. And that's, you know, it doesn't look right. So I said, being an effective manager is studying the craft you're doing, really. If I'm not involved with putting the match together, I'll tell them, look, if you've got a spot and you've worked out, that's fine. I'm not doing anything through the match because it's just going to be, unless it's called for. If you feel it in the moment and it needs it to happen, you do it. But yeah, you don't need to.
I'm in the place now where I manage like two different guys, and they're usually in like one or two of the most important matches on the card. But because of my position in the sort of the company, I'm having to do everything else during the day as well. So I'm just like, I'm constantly like just going. Yeah. So when is this? All right, cool. Okay. So he does that, then I'll come back later. I'm all right. I'll just go off and one of the main reasons why I didn't. I think it's worked to my advantage. And a lot of the things is when we do in RCW in particular, when we do the main events, we do the whole in-ring introduction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like the old school. So that's when I do my bit where I just rip the microphone off Josh and like give him shit and then give the crowd shit and interrupt and like introduce my guy.
Yeah.
And so as far as I'm concerned, that's my part done. I've tried to make the crowd hate him from the start as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any little thing else during the match is just something that they need me to do.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, sometimes when you get to the level, you don't even need to do that promo. They come out and, you know, if it's a regular crowd, they're new and they're going to start booing you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's been a couple of times, but very few times, because I do like the sound of my own voice, but very few times I had a promo before a match because it just wasn't needed.
Yeah. When you come out, do you just pick someone out of the crowd and work on that one person, or do you just work to a general crowd?
I would find a couple of people in the crowd, so you've got different areas.
Yep.
But you know, there'll always be someone that will show horrible behavior towards you, and they're the one to pick on. I usually find someone who said absolutely something horrible to me, and that's my person for the night. I will stick on them. I will
like that guy and beat me up.
Yeah. Oh, there was a couple of beat me up.
Yeah.
We both. There was an old lady.
Yeah.
This old lady. I'm not sure if you can swear on there. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, I've called the crowd a bunch of felonious toe rags or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
A 60-year-old woman gets out of a chair as I walk past. Don't you call me a toe rag, you little cunt.
Oh, shit. Was like,
Pierce couldn't believe it. He's never heard an old lady just get up out of a chair and use such filthy language. But yeah, so I probably avoided her because she was a bit scary, you know.
Well, she's going to drop the C bomb. You don't know what she's going to do to you.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But yeah, you can find the people in the crowd, and usually they enjoy being part of it, or sometimes they just get really angry at you. Had a few of those, but you know, you can work your way through that.
Let us know some of the favorite people that you've worked with, like managing or even managing against.
I would say Crackerjack for once. Favorite person. Favorite person to just to work with in general, whether it's having a match against him, managing against him, managing with, just fun, like one of the most creative guys you'd find as well. So always a lot of fun, always a pleasure. Adam Pearce, mate, just very simple. No stuff, go out there, do it, get the reaction, simple, easy, no one gets hurt, you're not banged up afterwards, it's really good.
Yeah. I made the mistake of actually turning down managing Pierce.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the card, and the start of the card was that it was set up to be Pierce and Grimm against my boys of Chris and Adam Brooks. And at the start of the night, I lure Grimm out and all this stuff, and then my boys jump him. And of course, Pierce comes in to make the save. But what it happened is I'd paid Pierce off.
Yeah.
So Pierce turns on Maddie. It all works out fine, sort of thing. And they set the match up like that he has to take on Nick Armstrong during the night. And so that all went off like a treat. The crowd like reacted exactly how we wanted to react. We were so happy we got to the back and we started playing on the main. And while we started playing the main, Adam comes up to me and he goes, "Wait, since I'm in your team now, do you want to come out with me for the match?" And I was so focused on making sure I got the main event right. I've gone, no, she'll be right, mate. So I turned around. It wasn't until after the show I turned down managing Adam Pearce.
You did, man. He would have taught you a few things. I mean,
I know. I'm such an idiot for doing it.
As I said, he's when you work with different people, you can learn different things. But, mate, I said he's been, around, 14, 13 years when I started managing. I've learned so much over the last couple of years just with him. So
yeah.
It's been great. So, and great guy to boot too. So, I enjoyed also working with Mike Peterson. It was a lot of fun working down in Warzone. Ron Eagles back in the day when we used to go to PWA. It was a lot of fun traveling back and forth with him and working shows. And my homeboy from Queensland, Mason Childs, managed him a couple of times in New South Wales and always got the reaction we wanted from the crowd, and one time we had the crowd that loud, we couldn't hear. There's no point even talking on the mic anymore. They were just making so much noise, booing the shit out of us. It was magic.
I was gonna say that's gotta be the best feeling.
Yeah, like I'm talking the microphone, I can't even hear myself talk on the loudspeaker. Everyone's hearing so much abuse at us. So a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Does it annoy you when a fan cheers for you?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I sometimes I can see the reasons why they're cheering for me. Other times it's just annoying because I just like being a heel, man.
Yeah.
I suppose in this day of modern professional wrestling or sports entertainment, there's no really, when you look at it, there's not really heels or faces anymore. It's like watching a sporting team. You're going to like one person, you're not going to like the other person.
Yeah.
So it sometimes happens to that. And I have been actually had a little face run up in Queensland when I was working up there. For the old when I was working for Mason PWA Queensland.
Yeah.
Crowd started getting behind me a bit, and that was after me being diabolical and bashing a woman got me over up there. That was very odd. very, very, very strange.
Yeah, it says something about the time.
They start cheering you for when you're doing absolutely shitty thing to someone. Like, oh, yeah, face. No, I'm not. I'm just performing in front of a crowd of sociopaths. It's, I don't think I'm actually doing anything babyface at the moment. People are not very nice in the crowd. So, yeah, that happens a lot too.
I remember because when I started out as like the face commentator and all that sort of stuff. And we'd be sitting there commentating the show, and I'd just keep making smart-ass remarks. I can't help myself. It's just my natural... It's my natural inclination to be an asshole to people.
If they find it entertaining too, they're going to cheer it. I've been on a number of shows, as is why I've done so many. It's where they're not overly good quality shows, and if you're being entertaining, the crowd are going to get behind you.
Yeah, I remember we were sitting up in the booth, and this is when Josh was the lead heel, like. GM, evil GM. So I was like the smart ass, like baby face commentator that would give him shit about being a ranger and blah, 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 blah. And because he has a speech impediment, I'd give him shit about that. And we were sitting up in the booth in between
what
matches.
A heel. A ranger with a speech impediment.
I know. And I'm literally, we're sitting up there. And he's going, I don't know why they cheer you. He goes, you make fun of me because of something I can't control. And the fact, he goes, and you do it so viciously, but they still cheer you. And I said, don't worry, I hate it too. I wish they'd boo me.
I actually, in Canberra, I got cheered for picking on a redhead. So it's just, you just got to not pick on redhead, mate. People enjoy it. They think it's funny.
Yeah, I see.
I'm not. This is no disrespect. I have a few redheaded friends. But no, I do. I'm not just being injected to redhead having this thing, to hell with gingers. But people do laugh at you picking on a ranger. It's that high school bully mentality people have in them. When you see a redhead and someone's making fun of them, you have the inclination to laugh and go, well, at least it's not me making fun of them. But they're actually saying, no. Yeah.
It doesn't really count because they don't have a soul anyway. So, I mean, you know.
Well, that's it, mate, you know. And, can't turn the lights on too bright on them either or they get, light burn. Man, they will burn. They will go red.
Well, see, I have that fair skin as well, so I can't actually have that argument. That's what shits me. Yeah.
No, I bronze, so I just hate going up the
What are your favourite places to work around the country, man, that you've worked in a – Well, you've worked pretty much everywhere, haven't you, now? What are some places you haven't worked? That might be easier.
Perth, Tasmania. I haven't worked in Perth. I haven't worked in Tasmania or the Northern Territory.
Okay. Well, I don't think they do anything up in NT, do
they? They had a guy who was running a few shows a couple of years ago, but never had the chance and probably won't go to Tasmania.
too cold?
Nothing really to go, oh, yeah, let me check out down there. I just don't know. Maybe when I'm 50. I'll swing something down there, but not at the moment. My favourite place, Melbourne, and back in the day, Queensland. They were the best.
Favourite promotions?
Warzone. Warzone's my favourite to work for of all time, and closely followed by PWA Queensland when it was run by Mason Childs. As I say, back in the glory days.
Nah.
It's got PW Queensland had that now because it was sold to a certain person I won't name. But back
a
when.
A litigious person?
Yeah. Back when Mason was running it, they were putting on, you know, some of the best shows in the country with, you know, some of the best wrestlers from all around the country on those shows. So they were fun. And, you know, fun. I was, I think I was actually working a feud against Mason that ended in a bloody match as they tend to do. And that was a lot of fun. a lot of good times, and really disappointed that the video library has been stolen from them.
Really?
The guy who was editing all their, they had some great shows, and he had his computer stolen, and that had all the footage of all the shows on there. So some asshole who has got a hocked computer with all the PWA Queensland shows on there. But yeah, they're all gone. So it's a real shame, it is. So, but yeah, a lot of fun up there.
Okay, I'm going to ask a personal question because I know you've worked matches before, like actually in the ring wrestling. I've got one coming up. What advice can you give me here?
Don't get hurt.
Run? Is that what you're saying? Run?
Don't get hurt. Don't pussy out at chops.
Oh no.
And stick to stuff you can do. Don't try.
Luckily,
you know what you can do. You know what you can do, and you know what you can't do. So yeah. Trying to go out there and wrestling a technical match and try to show off someone, or try to show off that you're a wrestler for starters. You can't put together like a wrestler because you're not.
No, exactly.
So, yeah, you got to fight like a manager. So you got to be dirty.
Yeah, it's a tag match, so I dare say Brooksy will be getting 90% of the offense.
Oh yeah, just don't get hurt and don't stuff up.
Yeah, Brooksy was like, "Oh, what do you want to do?" I said, "Going back and watch the old like Samoans against the Bulldogs with Bobby in the corner. It's pretty much what I want to do."
If
he's down, I'll tag in. As soon as he gets up, I'm tagging out.
Yeah. He'll go to the match psychology and all that sort of stuff too.
Yeah,
you won't really need to do much. So, yeah, my most of the matches I get involved in tend to be just getting the shit kicked out of me. something I'm very good at doing, apparently. So,
you're in demand for it.
In demand. Oh man, hey Williamson, I want to punch you in the head. How's about a booking on a show? No worries, pal.
Sick.
Okay.
In your opinion, what makes a good promotion?
Something that has something for everyone in it. It's has a good fan supporter base, and something that's going to continue growing and changing and evolving. That's a good promotion. It has to make money. Because you're not making money, if it's not making money and it's costing you a fortune, you're just doing a show for the sake of doing a show, it'll get very tedious. But yeah, I think a good promotion needs to have that something for everyone and needs to be able to adapt, which I can say in Sydney a lot of promotions haven't adapted to the climate, and that's probably why you'll find all the good wrestling, I would say, down in Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth and Brisbane now, because they have adapted and changed. And in New South Wales, it's been the same sort of shows for the last 5 years. They haven't really changed that much. So people aren't going to them. It's just not doing well.
What's your opinion in body look over working style? Everyone tends to sort of want to go for that really good body now. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's because, you've got to look the part. Mm. But you can also play. No, it's talking about something for everyone, right? So you can have different looks. You can have different looks as long as you look like a fighter and you can handle yourself. That's the important thing. And it goes on to the style you're working too. There's no point working on being the perfect body and then trying to do flips and jumps in the air and all that sort of stuff. Body is important, but it's a whole package. You can't have one or the other. You've got to really work on both. Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree.
I'd make connections with someone as well. That's the thing. You need to be able to make a connection with someone in the crowd. You can have the best body, but if you aren't making connection with anyone in the crowd, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, if you're just going out in the ring and going through the motions, then yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing it for fitness and, I'm putting on a good demonstration of wrestling, why don't you go into fighting or something like that? Because this is a performance. This is a performance, not a sport. So you have to think in that aspect, as well as all the athleticism and all that sort of stuff required. It is a performance. So I know there's a lot of people who don't think like that. And you probably watch their matches. They might have very good technical matches, but not really entertaining a crowd.
Yeah. I'll say Australian industry. What is your opinion of the overall industry? I know that it's sort of like we really do, and it seems to be anyway, that if the American product is really strong and really popular, then of course the Australian product seems to be like it gets popular, of course, because of that. Now with the lull, pretty much the lull now in the American product, it's still like the Australian product. I still see so much talent in here, but we're cursed by that, if you know what I mean.
Well, the Australian product, when I started, there was bigger crowds in some of the shows that were happening, especially around Sydney, that had bigger crowds. But the quality of the workers, the quality of the show most of the time it keeps getting better. You're going to, of course, have your few exceptions. But a lot of the quality of the guys these days, you're going to have the look they can go in the ring and all that sort of stuff. So the product as a whole, it's improved. It's something to be proud of. The lulls, you're always going to have that lull because it's not popular. But then again, it goes to adapting. So instead of just putting on a plain wrestling show, why don't you make it something as a night out? You're involved with other things. So you bring in a crowd that aren't usually going to be attracted to a wrestling crowd. So just say you're going to watch burlesque or you're going to watch a band or something like that, and they see this great wrestling. They go, "Wow, I'm going to come check that out a bit more often." You make your fans. You don't rely on how well WWE is doing. WrestleRock is a prime example of that. They put on WrestleRock is WrestleRock and WrestleClash.
Yeah, I was just about to say that WrestleClash. Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of the same things with me, but they put on a night out. And there's been times I've been down in Melbourne, been down visiting friends, or I've been there because I'm doing a show the next night and WrestleClash is on. I will go to town and pay money to go watch WrestleClash because it's a night out. I'm getting a night out worth of entertaining, and that's what they're doing right. They've adapted their product to make it cooler, to get people in, and not rely on we got to wait for WWE to get their next bunch of superstars in and selling out the place and have killer ratings and people will come to our shows again. A very poor business plan.
Yeah, but it is an issue.
It is an issue, but it's an issue that's not going to be fixed.
No, exactly. You've an issue that's sort of out of your control, really.
Yeah, but it goes with the adaptation. Like, you need to be able to adapt. Like businesses complaining about online piracy and all that sort of stuff. If you look at Foxtel, you look at the cable providers in America, there's online piracy. HBO, to adapt to that, they're doing an online subscription service. So you don't need to download all the stuff. You can just sign up and pay like $10 a month and have all access to their stuff to save it being downloaded. You have to adapt to what's happening. And that's what Aussie promotions need to do. And a lot of them are doing well. I mean, there's good numbers around the place. We've done Warzone. It was another sellout the other month. So that was at the Berwick Performing Arts Centre. They get decent numbers and they make money on the show. I know around other places numbers have dropped down, but man, just got to adapt and get those numbers in. I can rant for ages about it.
Well, that's why I started you on it, because I know that's something you're very passionate about. I listened to your last podcast.
Oh, thank you.
And you went on a tangent about the whole Sydney market. I thought it was really interesting to listen to, just because I agreed with everything you said.
Yeah. It's as I said, it's it needs to happen. I mean, you can. It's like spinning your wheels in the mud. That's what promotions Sydney are doing at the moment. Spinning the wheels in their mud. They're not trying new things. They're not seeing what's worked, what's not worked. And just keep doing the same stuff. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy to me. I promoted shows. I was probably one of the worst promoters out there. I was shit. Like, I hate promoting. That's probably why I'm not good at it. So I hated doing it. I just didn't feel like I had to do it. But it was shit. And I come to that realization, what's the point of me doing this? Because I'm not getting anything out of it. And I was running my wheels in the mud. So, yeah. didn't put on stinkers of shows, but there's a few that, you know, weren't that well attended. No, some were great. No one talks about the great ones.
Yeah.
But there was a few that were pretty crummy, but it's...
Yeah, I often find it harder to work in front of the smaller crowd than you do the bigger crowds.
Oh, if it's a crowd of 7 people, that's really hard to work.
Wow.
I had to do that. I traveled 4 hours in a fucking car trip to go work in front of 7 people. The halfway through the show, I just had someone go, even the announcer's embarrassed to be here. I just had to go backstage. I'm like, I'm done, guys. But they are hard to work, but other times too, you can make it work.
Yeah. You can. Because we do gym shows.
Yeah.
Where you get like 50 to 75 people in the show. And that's it's a lot because they seem to catch a lot more stuff.
That's it. Well, you change your style and make it intimate.
Yeah, exactly.
If you go watch a singer, and just say that, you know, they've done a big stadium show and they're doing a little quiet show for TV or something like that, and it's like an intimate setting, but they change their style of performance, that intimate thing. That's what performers have to do for a small crowd. Just make it a bit more intimate. Give that small crowd their money's worth because they've paid to watch a show. They're the only people that have paid to watch the show. So give them something that was worth their time and make them go, you know what, I'll come back and watch this again. Make them forget they're part of a small crowd and make it a fun experience so they come back and buy more tickets.
Yes. Well, we definitely got our money's worth out of you here today, mate. Thank you so much for coming on. Before we go, though, do you have any plugs, upcoming shows, anything you want to get out there to the people? Do it now, son.
We're doing this show's probably going to happen. I'm actually doing a charity show tomorrow night for autism awareness for children. Let me get my dates up in front of me. Give me a second.
Hello.
This is great podcasting here, folks.
This is where Josh edits.
You see the Mark Williamson fumble around on his computer as he tries to find the dates of his show. 8th of November. There we go. I know why.
People mastermind my ass.
8th of November. Blacktown PCYC for AEWF. I'm managing Apollo against Dean Draven. Interesting fact about Dean Draven. One of the first people I managed when I used to travel down to Melbourne. So take his title belt. Going to be fun. It's like a Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. Going to slice him with the thing. He's going to disappear. They're brilliant. Yeah, so that's happening. And unfortunately, I'm actually in a play in Sydney, and it's taken me out for the rest of the year with the rehearsals and doing 16 shows in December.
Yeah.
With the Christmas period, which should be fun. So that's cut down my wrestling commitments, unfortunately. It is. It's called The Age of Entitlement. At the Rocks in the city, at 43 George Street, the Rocks. You can buy tickets at www.mongrelmouth.com. I'm doing that over December. So that's my rest of the year. Then back into being a jerk next year.
but how good a jerk are you? One of the best.
World class jerk, I've been told.
I'm trying to pattern myself after you, so I've got a long way to go.
Well, mate, there's a lot of years perfected being an asshole, mate. So it's something I've relished.
I remember being at BP Dub, the show that we're on, and yeah. I was nervous as it was because it was my first sort of non-RCW show.
Yeah.
Like, because I knew the crowd in RCW and they all knew me, so my character was already over. And I thought, this is going to be pretty hard. And I completely forgot that you're on the card. And then you walked in and have gone, oh, fuck. There goes half my shit there. Like, I have to live up to this guy.
I had an easy night that night, man, so you could have used plenty of it. I didn't have to do much. Got all lady pulling me a gunt after a mic spot. You know your job's done for the night. You don't know. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's me done.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much.
And with me on the line right now is Warzone promoter / booker Benny English, Ben Gilbert. And Ben, it's great to finally have you on the show. It's awesome.
Oh, it's been a long time coming, man. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, we've been chatting about it and chatting about it, saying, yeah, be cool. And then it just, yeah, sort of, it hasn't happened, and other things have gotten in the way, or other interviews have sort of come up. We've had to snap them.
I'm nowhere near as important as that Rogue McManus guy.
Oh, come on. Come on now. Well, Benny, first off, we'll kick it off with how you got into wrestling and when you sort of became a fan of it.
Became a fan. It was kind of funny because I saw the Rock and Roll Wrestling cartoon. Back in the 80s, it was on Sky TV. That was cable for us. So it was kind of like Fox still here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I pretty much Hulk Hogan, that was my first view of him. I'd never seen him before. And because in England I had, you know, we had Big Daddy and John Haystacks and stuff like that. So they were the wrestlers I saw, big, huge, fat guys. And pretty much I had a babysitter one night. I was very young, and I remember it was Macho Man jumping Hogan during the Miss Elizabeth situation when we were backstage after Elizabeth was carried back. And that was my first actual, I have seen American wrestling. And it was a big deal going to school and stuff. So I became a fan from that point on, you know, just following it as much as I could. And then moved to Australia, you know, got older. I wouldn't say became a grown-up, but I got older. And
when exactly did you move to Australia?
91.
Okay.
So I was about 9, just turned 9, turning 10 when I got here. And, pretty much one day I was renting out wrestling videos all the time because I used to work at a Blockbuster when I was a kid. So
You had the sweet gig like Todd working at the video shop, getting the pick and the choice of the wrestling vids. You're awesome.
Yeah, the minute they came out, bam, I'd be copying them because there'd be no copy protection on the VHSs back then. So I'd be running them off and copying them and then taking them back to work. but pretty much from that point, looked up Australian wrestling feds, and in Dandenong, there was PCW. And so I went down to a training session, you know, did horribly, disappeared for a couple of months, came back, and, you know, and clicked. I was able to do the basics, and they offered me a commentary gig, and did that for a little while. And that's pretty much how I started out in wrestling, to give you a really long, drawn-out answer.
How long did you do the commentary spot there?
Quite a while. I was only there maybe 2 years. I was there for the original Carnage, Lobo and Mad Dog, the death match. Yeah, the original Risk with Spike and Lobo and stuff like that. So I had some awesome matches to commentate, but I was very young to wrestling and didn't kind of appreciate what I was seeing in front of me. And I was doing that for about nearly 2 years before PWA started.
That was PWA in Melbourne.
Yeah, the original PWA. That was started by Henry Lobo Jones. He was the one who him and Cremator gave me my first proper opportunity to manage. But I like props to Cremator as well. I mean, at the time I was just a commentator that was halfway decent. I say halfway being generous. And he just, he saw that I was a bit of a motor mouth and said, okay, well, do you want to manage a couple of rookies? And that's pretty much how it all started for me, the managing stuff.
Oh, motor mouth, all right. My first Aussie wrestling shows were at EPW Adelaide. As I've said before, you probably heard me folks say on the show. And I tell you what, we used to go back and forth. I was in that front row having a few brewskis, and you would get riled up and stuck right into me, and it was always good fun, those shows.
Well, anything I've said horrible, I'm completely sorry.
It was all horrible. It was all absolutely, you know, you'd get kicked out of school if you uttered that sort of stuff, you know.
Jesus Christ. Oh. There you go. At least I know that we've abused each other at some point.
But you did your job because you're getting everybody offside. So that's good.
Well, I suppose. I kind of do that in all aspects of life, I suppose. But you might as well do it for a productive reason.
And so when did the relationship with EPW sort of start, I guess? Because, I mean, that was my first experience seeing you and knowing of you, you know, in wrestling, so.
Yeah, what happened was Hartley Jackson, Jag, he contacted me. Like, we knew each other from, between Steve Frost. I went to do a show up in Adelaide. It was the third show of the NWA. Not Jag's NWA, the other NWA.
Gotcha.
That was there for a little while. And, yeah, we met through there and, yeah, kept loose contact. And PWA was being shut down. I got talking to him and he offered me a spot. And he didn't have to. He was actually very generous of him to do. And I worked every show for him for nearly 5 years on and off. I think there was maybe 2 shows I ever missed. And that was because I was in the States at the time.
I can't recall a show that I went to back then during like 06 to 08, I guess it would have been, the 09, the ones that I was going to, where you weren't there. You're either, sort of opening the show or part of some faction, you know, running amok. It was good times. No, great shows.
I really enjoyed my time there. I mean, that was a great learning curve for me. Jag gave me a lot of opportunities when I worked there.
And having an accent, that's got to make it easier to get booked as well.
Yes and no. sometimes people, look, when I start talking in a blur, and I have done it on this podcast, and I apologize to all listening, I do kind of pick up speed and stuff like that. So I used to babble way worse than this. When I first started, I used to get pulled aside by people at PCW saying, slow down, calm down. So, yeah, it helps, but sometimes you need to translate or subtitles.
Well, it's funny because I was joking about that with Todd on the show a couple of weeks back, how, you know, when UFC will be running a promo vignette or something like that, and they'll have an interview with Michael Bisping, and sure enough, they will have subtitles up there. And I'm like, I can understand him. What's wrong with you bloody Americans, you know? But
that's true, though. It's true. When I was over in the States, and now and again, there'd be the occasional person that would give me that dog that's been shown the card trick look, you know, that slight head tilt, not quite sure what they're seeing. So, but I mean, also I've kind of got a mixed Aussie accent. So it really messes me up when I talk to family and stuff as well, because they can't understand me, so I'm fucked.
Have you been in a different region of the world for 6 months or so? You've picked it up and brought it back, and now you're telling us.
You're completely ruining my family, baffling them all.
And so EPW Adelaide, you said like 4 or 5 years that you were there.
Something like that, yeah.
With Jag and Slater and that whole crew. When did your relationship with, or I guess when did the Warzone take off? How did Warzone begin?
About 2008 time, tail end of 2008, PWA had shut down by that point. PCW had more or less shut down by that point. They went on a hiatus for a couple of years, and in that time, there was this kind of a dead zone when it came to wrestling. There was a couple of good shows, but there wasn't anything consistent. Really, the only one was Wrestle Rock by memory, and Alpha started, and I was helping out a lot with them, and it wasn't really going the way that I was hoping it would. And so I kind of thought, well, put my money where my mouth is. And so I ran a show in October of 2008, just before I went overseas with Slater. And, that was pretty much Warzone. And I just planned it for one show. And I remember being in the truck with Ryan Rollins and turning to him and said, that's it. No more. You could never let me promote again. And Ryan Rollins, to his word, completely ignored my pleas and encouraged me to do a second one. I think it was March next year, where we had Nozawa on. And he wrestled Matt Silver. And Matt was nervous, as you can appreciate, but Nozawa kind of helped him out. And that was kind of what kicked us off, because we had Incarlo, Jag, Slater, Robbie Hart, Flex all come aboard, and we just started moving up on from there and started to pump out shows like 4 times a year, and we kind of filled the void for a little while. And while Wrestle Rock did their stuff, they were doing a phenomenal shows, and PCW returned in 2010, and that pretty much what kicked it off from there. Like, we just kind of, everyone seemed to be working with each other instead of against each other, which I enjoy.
Well, that's definitely something that I've noticed with Warzone now, is the relationship with, obviously, down here in with Riot City Wrestling, and also PCW in Melbourne. I mean, you work with them yourself, and you still manage on those shows, yeah?
Yeah, me and PCW, it's kind of funny. we were never actually on the same page for a long, long, long time. And they actually were very kind and reached out to me and, you know, during a downtime of my life, and they actually helped me out a lot. And to this day, they still do. They're big supporters of Warzone. And a lot of their roster, we kind of share and help each other out. It's a really good relationship going with them at the moment. I'm very happy to be part of it.
And Warzone itself has built up a really good rep for, you know, having consistent shows and really good talent, and also bringing up a lot of younger guys that might not get a chance elsewhere. With the whole seven levels of hate, Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana, when they had to sort of have their seventh match in their series, they chose Warzone. Were you in contact with Adam Pearce or anybody from... obviously the NWA didn't sanction the match in the end, but was that something that was in the works for a long time? Or was it just sort of at the last sort of minute or the last 11th hour, if you will, they needed a venue, bugger it, we'll go to Australia. How did that happen?
What happened with that, me and Adam met in 2008, and we kind of stayed in loose contact, you know, not messaging each other every day, but, you know, now and again. And he hurt himself, and I sent out a message asking how he is, and then we got talking about, oh well, he might be finishing up, he was interested in coming to Australia, and I wanted something to pep up Warzone. We were going into a new year, and I really wanted to do something different. At that point we joined the NWA when Pearce first came out, and we got talking, and he was telling me about the seven levels of hate stuff and wanted to do possibly like a side match, yeah, an exhibition match in Australia.
Okay.
No problem. And then, next thing I know, he actually contacts me, like phones me and tells me, hey, look, this is the situation. We're coming out anyway. Would you like to be part of the seven levels of hate? And I was like, yes, definitely. I was unaware of how things were going in the NWA at that point. So, and then I would be getting emails from the NWA side, hearing from Pierce. And pretty much, away we went. As you've seen, we were part of something very special with the way it turned out. Are we part of the NWA now? No. Are we missing it? It was a great run with the NWA, but we're actually a lot stronger for how things went. And a lot of it goes to Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana for trusting us to be able to advertise it and fill that venue. So it means a lot.
And the DVD is out at sevenlevelsofhate.com, I think is the website where you can grab that.
Yes, it is.
And yes. I grabbed my copy when Adam was down here for RC Dub, and you were over as well, and finally got to properly meet you and without berating each other.
Yeah, I was on my deathbed by memory. Yeah. I was coughing my lungs up.
You were not well. You're an absolute gun there, holding out and doing some of the merch and
helping
that.
Out,
and
holding yeah.
The, yeah, like seriously, you were just an absolute gun where you really didn't need to, you know, like it was, yeah.
Cletus deserves more of the props for driving. That poor guy, he got me to drive for maybe 10 minutes, and when I started hallucinating, off the medication, he went, yeah, now I'm driving. So he drove pretty much 16 hours that day.
And then by the end of the show and after his match and whatnot, he was absolutely buggered as well, I remember. He was just ready for bed.
Yeah, the only person that wasn't was Enforcer, who was looked very chipper. he never drove one mile the entire trip, God bless him.
Nice and fresh then, ready for action.
Yes.
I was actually really impressed with Enforcer that night, because I hadn't seen him wrestle in person before, and he was just brilliant. Really brought something different down to our show, I thought.
Yeah, Enforcer's one of those guys. I've been kind of blessed because, I've known Enforcer since I first... He was the first guy I met when I was walking into the student show, and he was going, because he used to help out at those shows, and introduced myself to him. Oh, yeah, I'm Benny, I'm Comtain. He didn't introduce himself. His usual kind of one nod, one pump handshake. And, pretty much we've always been friendly, but over the last few years, we've become real close friends, and he's been such a helping hand with Warzone, because he's such an experienced guy, much like Pitbull, Craig Cole. These guys, the older ones, being around the younger guys is what kind of helps at Warzone, keep the... everything fresh. There's always something different, but you could always count on the old school as well. Mm-hmm. So I think, many generations mixing it. And that's saying, I've noticed at RCW, they seem to try to do as well, bring in older guys as well as the young guys to try to help educate, which I think you're saying it's lacking these days in a lot of feds. They don't seem to want to remember the past too much.
Yeah, and also having a few more mature minds around as well helps sometimes to sort of mellow out the younger, more eager, you know, the ones who are either quick to fly off the handle or sort of aren't willing to listen. When you've got a couple of those guys around, they end up bloody listening, and it's really cool to have around. Yeah, people like Marvel, for instance, down here, even the Basso boys, they're only in their 20s pretty much, or but they've been at it for so long, got their heads screwed on, right, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't think, out of all the promotions I've worked for, and this is not a slight on anyone, meeting the Bassos, Chris, such a welcoming guy as well, just going out of his way to make sure people are comfortable and stuff. And Same goes with Matt. I mean, when he came down to Warzone, absolutely won the crowd over. It's just a way, such a clever way of doing it. And these guys have worked so long to get the promotion going to the point of where it's pretty much counted as one of the premier feds in the country. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I've tipped my hat off. I remember seeing very, very early stuff back when Sarah J was there. Yeah, just seeing on the website and stuff and how they've changed over the years is just amazing.
Yeah, I guess down here it's one of those things where, you know, we can't, with Riot City Wrestling, we can't go backwards. So if the production steps up a level, up a level, then it has to keep going up. You know, we can't take a back step. And even with our gym shows, you know, it's basically our entrance there is our old entrance for main shows, you know, that we've upscaled so much for the big shows that now we've got everything ready made there at the gym. And we're really fortunate to have, you know, just an awesome crew and everyone being so supportive, and people like yourself, you know, like helping us out where we need, and vice versa. It's really cool to see a lot more of that, helping each other out in wrestling. Like it's a pity it's taken so long, but it's good.
I think it's definitely a change from where it was 10 years ago when I first started up. Everyone seems to be a lot more cooperative. Look, you're going to get people that just don't get along. There's people I don't like, there's some people that don't like me, and that's fine. But if that's the case, just leave each other alone. Try to dodge each other where you can. And the people that want to help you, stick with them. They'll look after you, and eventually, no one's best friends with everyone. So usually just try to avoid each other.
I know exactly where you're coming from there. Let's just leave it at that.
For the After Dark one that we're going to do.
Well, look, let's talk a bit, because you do a bit of booking as well, yeah?
On occasion, I've been known to dabble, yes.
What are some of the things that you've learnt from booking shows, that, you know, the do's and don'ts, and perhaps some of the, I guess, your pet peeves as well in Australian wrestling at the moment, that are just things that are really bugging you, that if I could change this on, like, you know...
I actually was saying the other day online, this is whenever you're approaching someone. And I learned this from Jag, which is, if you're going to approach someone for a booking, remember, first impressions count. And if it's over the internet, Facebook, then, treat it like a resume. Speak respectfully. Spell check. I'm shocking for it. Yeah, I'm a terrible speller. But my grammar leaves a lot to be desired. But, you know, you have to keep that in mind. I think people just think, hey, please book me, smiley face is going to get them a gig. Or, hey, I've worked this show, book me. It doesn't work that way. That being said, I think, to be honest with you, there's not much that really upsets me too much anymore. I used to be really easily agitated. But I think as a booker, the things that people that don't understand is a whole show. Yeah, people that go, oh, I'm not happy. Why? Oh, well, you know, I want my friend to be on the show with me. But it doesn't help the rest of the show. Or does that mean somebody who's worked hard is missing now? I'm lucky I don't really deal with that too often, but in the early days of Warzone, when the roster was a little bit different, I definitely had that, I don't want to do this, or, I had to talk people around. Luckily, people are a lot more appreciative. I'm lucky because I've also got a crew that actually wants to be there, that get what I'm trying to do. And I think a lot of the feds in Melbourne, from what I understand, have very similar crews. I think the old attitudes are long gone, and there's a lot more upbeat kind of personalities now, especially with the schools that are going around. Eh? You've got the PC Dub School, you've got Carlo's School. You know, all of these places, they're kind of teaching more respect and being grateful for the opportunities you get, but also earn the opportunities. So I think, yeah, bit of a long-winded answer, but I don't really see too many pet peeves out there anymore. But that would probably be my hardest thing is the, yeah, but I don't, please, just trust me. As a booker, please trust me. I'm doing this for all of our goods. So, yeah, if that helps.
And what with you're talking about the training schools there as well, I guess the one that you would be close, you know, sort of involved with a bit more closely is the PCW training school there.
Yeah.
If people are in Melbourne and they want to get involved with the PCW training school, how do they go about it, and what can people expect, I guess, from some of the trainers and the courses, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, PC Dub School is one of the older schools. It does pump out a lot of people. I mean, that's where people like Tennille, Brooksy, Psycho, All-Star Carlo, all of them started out. And, you know, it's more than anything, it's a good, great launching pad. Since my time there, they've had Adam Pearce train people on a very regular basis. You know, to contact them, it's pretty much simple. You just go onto their website. They're very open about things. They're, you know, you've got some great people down there that are willing to help as well. I mean, Gabriel Wolf, for example, who's still very young in wrestling, but he's very passionate too. And what he does teach people down there. And I found him to be one of the, I suppose, the better people out there to teach, because he's got such a patient, calm personality about him. Then you've got Tricky D, who's been around for, long time, nearly 10 years, if not more. Yeah, and you've just got all these guys, and people like Swagger who come through, Enforcer, who helps out from time to time, all these people coming through, and also Stephen Pullen is a very giving guy. He goes out of his way to try to help a lot of the rookies, and so much so that even with the recent Warrnambool show, he still included them, you know, even helping out on the show. He really got a unity thing going. So yeah, it's really good to see that type of stuff. So that's pretty much with PC Dub, that's what you should expect.
Cool. And PCWEntertainment.com, that's the website?
That's the one, yep. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Facebook is all I ever do these days. I don't surf the internet as much as I used to. So, yeah, if you know the website, bully for you. Well done.
Oh, I guess it's my job here, so I have to.
It is. No, see, you're the man with the information. I'm just a stupid slub that... yeah, it just happened to be answering his phone at the right time, I suppose.
Funny that. Coincidence.
Yeah, yeah, no, well, it was either that or a serious lack of other options, I suppose, for tonight. You found me, and God bless you for it.
Well, we got to get on to another topic here, which I'm sure a lot of people in the Ballarat area of Victoria are going to be very excited about. Any wrestling fans out there listening, if there's a few... BPW is returning in 2014.
Yes.
Ballarat Pro Wrestling were drawing awesome crowds and putting on some really good shows with some really good talent back in, like, I think 2008, 2009, 10, around that time.
Yes, yes. That's definitely one of the promotions I've always been proud to work on. Jim Ray's, if to other people, that guy has put so much of his heart and soul into that company.
Yeah,
and I'm lucky enough to, you know, count him as a very close friend. And he was talking about restarting it. And, you know, I wanted him to restart it for some time. Other feds have gone down to Ballarat and they've given it a go. But Ballarat seems to be very much, this is our home fed, if that makes sense. Like, they're very passionate about it. And, you know, the guys who also performed on it, they got it. They got what the show was about. And so I think helping bring that back, you know, in a small way. Warzone's playing a very small part in this. BPW is definitely going to be Jim Ray's creation. He's still got control over it. Nothing will change. You're going to have a lot of old faces there. It's going to be an awesome night. I'm very excited to be part of it and to be allowed to be part of it. Yeah, Warzone's definitely going to play its part, though. Even though we're doing a small role, we are going to be playing our part to try to get as many people there as possible and really help BPW, you know, get back to where it should be, which is one of the dominant feds pretty much in Victoria. I mean, they really did hold the title when it came to their shows, when it came to quality and quantity of people. I mean, I never... In the whole time I was there, I don't recall seeing a small crowd. Let's just put it like that.
Before I let you go, Benny, just want to throw a couple of quick ones at you. Through all of the talent that you've seen, you know, in your time come up from through, you know, like the PWA school and PCW and all these sort of places, and then going on to bigger and better things. Who are some of the people that you've that I guess have overachieved in a way, you know, that you thought, oh, geez, well, he's talented, but then they've just exceeded your expectations? And some guys who, and girls for that matter, who you think are on their way up, who you think we might in a couple of years really see them sort of starting at their full potential?
I play favourites. I won't lie to you. Without a shadow of a doubt, Brooksy on both ones.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, when I first met him, you know, he was like a small kid in the tag team at PCW, played a lackey elsewhere. I didn't really know him till bar, so we really didn't have a very good relationship when we first met. We didn't know each other. We heard things about each other, but that was about it. And, since first meeting, he was so cool to me. And I worked with him in PCW, managing him, doing the I would be trying to drag him down, punish him for the sake of it, and he played it down, he got it, and he was a lot of fun to work with. He just keeps improving every show, and now he's Warzone champ. He's just been kicking goals for us, and not just here, but whenever he goes interstate as well, he defends that belt, and it's only a matter of time till he goes overseas. And when he does, you know, if he sees an opportunity, he better grab it, because he's one of those guys who can run with it if need be. Without a doubt, just trying to think of Grimm. Yeah, he's another one that really does surpass all expectations. You just take a look at him, you go, oh, okay, big guy. But the way he moves, just so, you know, intense, I think it would be the word.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
It's just so many people out there. I mean, you take a look at, say, Kellyanne English, the Keaton Meridian, depending which show you go to. She's also one of those that has just advanced and moved on to where she can go off and achieve some great things. And I'll be honest with you, didn't see it coming. There was a long time where things in Melbourne were a bit weird, but she learned from everyone she could. So God bless her for that. It's so hard. I mean, you've got Slexis, Carlos, even the older guys, Pitbull, Enforcer, guys who've stuck around and helped. Daniel Swagger is often overlooked, and I find him to... He had some great matches with Adam Pearce when he was down here. And Adam, who has worked with the best, you know, I remember we pulled up to the training school and there was Swagger, and Pearce turns to me and goes, why the hell is he here? I've got nothing I can teach him. Yeah, and that's a huge compliment.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's just some of the names off the top of my head. I know I'm forgetting some people. Cleus, Ryan Rollins. Jesus, how could I forget him?
Oh, right.
I've known him since he was 15, yeah. Ryan Rollins to me, mate. But look at him, AWA superstar. Yeah, God bless him. And like Tennille, she's gone off to do great things. So I keep rattling them off. I just look forward to what the next generation will do. I mean, there's so many people coming through, you know, through Carlo School and PCWs. It makes it tough to know what direction to look at the moment.
No, there's definitely a bright future, and with everything going so well with, you know, Warzone and like everything that you guys are doing, just for the betterment of wrestling in Australia, with helping out other promotions and everyone that you can, really, it's awesome, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on here as well, because wrestling needs more people like yourself, to be honest, who are just willing to put their hand out and you know, give a brother a hand, so to speak, you know what I mean? And be respectful it's good. There are a lot more people like that around, but you know,
look, there's a lot more than there was 10 years ago, and the same, I say this, not many people, you may not agree, but yeah, people say there's no money out here. If that's the case, then when somebody says, oh, this isn't personal, this is just business. No, there is. It is personal. Yeah, everything is personal because you're putting so much of your own life, you know, into a company or a promotion, whatever you want to call it. You're putting so much of that love into it that, you know, you can't help but take it personally. And I think that's why if there are, you know, feuds between feds and even individual wrestlers, sometimes it stems from just simply that, that they feel disrespected. And that's what I love. Unfortunately, communication is one of the things that seems to break down a lot. And I think that's why, we, you know, again, PCW, myself, me and Mana in Perth, even working with Mark Williamson in Sydney, he's a great conduit to other feds that helps communication. And I think that's really lacking. And stuff like this, I think, really helps.
Benny, we just want, we need you to get all the plugs out the way. So your Twitter, Facebook, all of that sort of jazz. Oh. If people want to get in touch with you, if people want to get in touch with Warzone, all of that, let us know. Tell us where to go.
Warzone's on Facebook, my man. Okay, with the Warzone page. See, you put me on the spot, man. Do you think that I remember
Facebook.com/WarzoneWrestlingAU.
See, you know, you got your stuff. Why are you asking me? This is all a trick, wasn't it? To humiliate me.
I haven't even got it in front of me. It's actually in my head, but I thought it'd sound better coming from the source.
In that case, why are you asking me? Come on, I think this is... Yeah, mate, you're just trying to make me look sick. Yeah, but the Warzone website, warzonewrestlingaustralia.com.au. That one will take you directly to our Facebook. We're redoing the whole page. It's going to be really great. We're definitely going with a new look in 2014. As anything, it's a slow build, but it's going to be there. But that is basically the conduit. There'll be links all over the place to get to our YouTube, to get to our Twitter. It's all there. I advise everyone to come and check out Warzone 19. Jesus. Been so many, but also check out your local feds, your PCWs, you know, your RCWs, your NHPW. All these feds are working their tails off, and it would be nice to actually see some all-round, you know, acknowledgement for them because they are working themselves to the bone these days.
Nah, you're not wrong there. Totally agree with you. And on that note, Benny, I guess we will wrap it up. So again, just thanks heaps for joining us, and all the best with Warzone 19. March 15th.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you for the call.
Have you ever rented a video that wasn't quite right?
FNX. I'll buy my song and I won't...
Shoot the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootTheDefence.com and the FNX Network, and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at ShootTheDefence.
If you want to hear Stel talk a bit of wrestling, you can check him out here on the episode WRA versus Shoot the Defense as we celebrated FNXtober, celebrating all great things FNX.network. And in the last few weeks, the site has been upgraded. The website's looking fantastic, so head on over there. You can stream WRA, and you can stream Shoot the Defense, Big Ballers Podcast, the NBA Podcast, and also NBL. There's a lot of the talk there on the Australian League, which has been awesome this year. Just awesome stuff, great to watch. And you can get the breakdown in a with a comedic tone from Todd Eastman, Josh Miller, and the Big Ballers Podcast crew. So do check that one out, folks, on FNX.network. Please do hit us up on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU or on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia if you want to get in touch with us. And why not share with us your favourite wrestling moment from 2015, preferably from Down Under or from some of the Australian talent that's been doing awesome things abroad. We'd love to know what you enjoyed throughout the last 12 months, and even here on WRA. Well, actually, we'll save that because there is an awards category in the Listener's Choice Awards for favourite episode here on the network. So save those thoughts regarding our content for then. because yeah, you can get your piece in and have some fun for the awards show. And just quickly again, give us a rating and a review, please, on iTunes or wherever you found the show, even if it's Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Give us a little word there if you can, if it is possible, on your platform. And subscribe if you haven't already. Subscribe to make sure that you get every episode the second that it hits the interwebs. Healing Out and Axe Cast will be returning very, very soon, hopefully. They'll be returning, but hopefully it'll be sooner than later. Big thank you to FNX.network. Big thank you to LionRhythms.com for Positive Vibrations. It's the summer theme. Todd Eastman, Benny English, Lord Mark Williamson, thank you very much, fellas. Wrestle Merch Printing, thank you very much for the cover art. Most of all, thank you for listening. My name's Josh Armour. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. We'll be back next week with Todd Eastman and Jesse Daniels here on Wrestle Radio Australia. By the way, just quickly, Boxing Day lunch in the Armour household, Melbourne City Wrestling's 5th anniversary extravaganza. We loved it. Do yourself a favour. Vimeo, Melbourne City Wrestling, 5th anniversary extravaganza. Check it out, folks. It was a hell of a show. All right, now I'm out. Stay cool. Party on. Stay safe. We'll catch you soon. Cheers.
This is F.